Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting today with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets. I've been talking a lot about the U.S. equity markets because they have been on quite the run. And as much as a lot of the bears were saying that these rallies would fade at the end of the year, well, the markets have just kept moving up. That's the biggest thing to take away here. And they've moved up on the back of optimism when it comes to trade, but we still don't have a trade deal. We don't even have Brexit that looks like it might not be moving through, but we do still have a Fed that I think continues to set a lot of the bulls' minds at ease because there is this so-called Fed put in the market. Please share with us where you think the markets stand right now. If you think there's still some upside here, if these markets are going to run out of steam finally.
It well said, and I think that right now, as you know, the S&P 500 is, I think it's poised for another four-day winning streak, but you know, when we look at the gains, it's up, what, 0.1%, or it's barely positive. And you're starting to see that there is going to be some loss of momentum here. I think all of that trade optimism that we got from last week, it's slowly evaporating. I think we had high expectations that President Trump wanted to have his, you know, his holiday, or he'd call it Christmas message, where he was going to say, I got the trade deal. It's going to keep, you know, this economy growing for next year and even further. And now we're starting to get comments from Lighthizer. Well, their lawyers are reviewing the text. We're looking at the first week of January, but they still haven't even finalized the final details. There's still some areas where they have not reached a consensus with the Chinese. And I think you're going to see that there's going to be there's over-optimism, I think, for 2022. And I think that when you have the market so heavily positioned for one direction, you oftentimes will start to see there's going to be some resistance in continuing this record rally here. The general consensus on Wall Street is that 2020 is going to be another banner year, not as strong as, you know, the last couple, but still some of the more conservative estimates looking for 2% growth, a lot looking for 8%. And when you consider all of what has happened with the global growth slowdown, with the trade, never-ending trade wars, not just with U.S.-China, but with the U.S. and EU, and also with Germany and China, there's so much different tensions that are not going to go away anytime soon. So I think you're starting to see markets have become a little bit complacent. And I think when that happens and when you have thin liquidity, you're oftentimes at a position where you could start to see some weakness. Now, does this make me a bear for U.S. stocks? No, not at all for 2020. I'm still targeting further upside. But in the short term, I think that you could see the markets become slightly vulnerable. And while we are entering that Santa rally period, I think that you can't really base the finale for the year just on historical trending indicators. So I think there is going to be some risk to the downside. And I think a lot of that is going to be when we start to talk about earnings for the next go around, and I think you're going to start to see Wall Street become a little bit more focused on that, and that's going to provide some possible difficulties here for stocks to climb even higher.
Okay, it really is a game of waiting, or at least trying to see where that weakness will come for the U.S. markets, because they have been on a run that even if you're a technician or even if you just look at fundamentals, you do understand that there needs to be some sort of pullback. The question is, how deep will that pullback be? But yeah, the markets have just been on such a big run. Plus, I keep circling back to that speculator short position in the VIX, which I know these aren't great timing indicators, but they are showing another extreme, almost extreme complacency. One other market that we talk about very regularly is gold. And the one thing I think that's been noteworthy about gold, even though it's traded in a range for the last about 3 months, is that gold is in no way broken down, even when U.S. markets have continued to all-time highs. Even when they were at that run where day after day they were creeping to new all-time highs, gold was hanging around. And I think that's quite encouraging. What do you think here, Ed, if the markets do finally go through some sort of a pullback, and a pullback that lasts more than, let's say, just a week, does that further just benefit the gold trade?
Very much so. And I think when we take a look at gold, and the gold trade has evolved. So remember, back when gold was below 1,400, it took the Fed's easing to really kind of to catapult this rally that we've seen. This trade uncertainty was kind of another bonus for gold, and that now we're at a position where you have the Fed has completely signaled that they're on hold right now. So they just delivered 3 rate cuts. You're going to see that accommodation remain in the economy. I think you're going to possibly see some further weakness in the dollar. It's going to be a choppy move. It's not going to be just one way, but that's also going to be supported for gold. And interesting, like 2019 has seen really, a lot of times we've seen the U.S. stock, the S&P 500 rally alongside gold. And I think what we're going to start to see, though, is that we're going to have a return of that inverse correlation. And I think that when we do start to see some weakness in U.S. stocks, and it might not be pronounced, but I think that is going to be another catalyst. And I think gold is going to be able to possibly outperform U.S. stocks next year because they're in a position where there's still a plethora of geopolitical risks. As you highlighted earlier, Brexit, the last week's election was very positive because it was believed that we were going to have Brexit done in end of January, and then that Johnson was going to have a decent game plan as far as trying to negotiate these trade deals with the EU. But now he's trying to make it that he has 11 months to negotiate, and if not, it's going to be a no-deal Brexit. And it took the Canadians 7 years to negotiate their set a deal with the EU. 7 years. Johnson's trying to do a similar type of deal in 11 months. There's growing skepticism there that that's going to happen. And Brexit is not just bad for the UK economy, it's bad for the EU. So that's another strike against global growth. And you have the trade war with the US and China. There's no expectations we're going to have that broader deal. The phase one will probably get ratified in the coming weeks, but I think there is no prospects for a significant phase two deal or a broader one. So that will probably be part of the campaign push. So there's a lot of uncertainty there. I think that we're going to have investors at times become frustrated. As you mentioned, when volatility does pick up, you're going to see them flee to gold. And I think it's going to be possibly one of the more steadier trades in 2020.
Now, do you think that bonds will also move up with gold, kind of the safe haven move into just these safer assets? Or do you think that gold is going to outperform bonds?
I think we're probably going to see there is potential to see the 10-year treasury to collapse to a record low. I think, when we take a look at bonds, I think they're still the most, they're the cleanest dirty shirt, I think, in the closet right now. I think you're going to have investors kind of maintain their interest in U.S. treasuries. It's really tough to be so optimistic for U.S. stocks, but I think that there is still a lot of global uncertainty that is going to keep demand for treasuries pretty strong throughout the year. And as people search for yield, I think you're going to, the high yield markets have they're probably going to see further strains. Short-term lending, the money market, repo market madness that we saw in September, we're probably going to see that flare up. But right now, there's just countless little triggers that could happen, I think, in 2020. And so I would not be surprised if we did see gold continue to rally well beyond 1550, 1600 possibly. Once you get past that level, then, you know, it depends on how it got there. There could be even further bullish momentum. And you know, talking to about the treasuries, I think, you know, that 144 at the September 3rd low that we saw with the 10-year yield, that is, I would not be surprised if we saw that region tested. So it's going to be, I believe 2020 is going to be volatile, despite what we're seeing, some of the complacency we're seeing in the markets right now.
Okay, yeah, and that volatility, that would be good for gold. Now, you never know, right? This is a lot of forward-looking as to what events could cause investors to get even more scared, but fact of the matter is there are still some good reasons for investors to take that defensive approach, a lot because we're continuing to see slow growth around the world, including the U.S. and even data out of the U.K. today showed disappointment when it came to weaker than expected labor and wage data. So overall, there's still some worries out there, and I think that's what's really helped keep gold up in this higher trading range, even as money has flown into the U.S. equity markets. And if there is any more of a significant rotation, that could push gold higher. But hey, we are all still just kind of waiting to see what happens on the political front and when the central banks or the Fed decide to step back into the market, whether it's for market weakness or to get inflation back on track. Some of those main stories are just going to continue into next year. Ed, it's great chatting with you. I'm going to post a link below where people can follow along with your daily article over at Oanda. It's a good way to start your day, getting a little summary of what's majorly moving markets and any key news that came out. So, hey, Ed, appreciate your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Always a pleasure.